Today, in the traditional calendar of the Roman Church, is the Feast of the Most Holy Name of Jesus. Well, what does the Lord himself say about his own name? In John 16, the Lord reveals his unity with the Father and the power of his name, saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name." Imagine the astonishing power. We can turn to the Father with true faith, ask for things in his name. His name has power. In Mark chapter 9, we read an exchange between the beloved disciple, who is John, and the Lord. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he was not following us. He wasn't part of our group, so we thought that maybe he shouldn't be using his name." But the Lord said to him, Jesus said to him, "Do not forbid him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me." Speaking things and saying things outwardly can shape us also interiorly. This is one of the reasons why some of our classic prayers, like acts of faith, acts of hope, acts of charity, and these short phrases, these holy and pious phrases that we have, prayers that we can, that are classic things, that can, they've been finely crafted like pieces of jewelry to include many different little aspects and facets that are rich for our spiritual lives. And when we memorize those things and say them often, pronounce them out loud, they will also help to shape us interiorly. Here the Lord says, "Those who do mighty works in my name," in other words, saying his name with reverence, no one will be able after that, soon after, to speak evil of me. Think about how the name forms us interiorly. The Gospel of John says, "These signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." We can be interiorly formed. We can receive things. We can even have life. His name, his person, is a path to everlasting life. It's no wonder that even though the church traditionally talks about how the Lord was given his name at the time of his circumcision, then other aspects of the mystery were teased out into a separate feast because it's so important. There's even a litany of this, of the holy name, and we venerate these things, these mysteries. We tease them out, even though many times several things are together. For example, for the Feast of the Epiphany, we celebrate in general three great mysteries of the Lord: his adoration by the Magi, which reveals him to be God; his baptism at the Jordan by John, when the Father's voice was heard, which reveals him to be God; and the changing of water into wine at the wedding at Cana, his first great public miracle, which reveals him to be God. And so sometimes the church will tease these things out. We'll have a separate feast of the baptism of the Lord, but we have another feast for the holy name. So signs and wonders are connected with the Lord's holy name. The apostles and his disciples worked many miracles through the holy name. The apostle Paul wrote to his flocks about the holy name of the Lord. And what Paul teaches reveals a fundamental aspect of God's will for us as his images. You know, in the first commandment of the Decalogue, God focused on what we might do wrong with our hands. "You shall not make for yourself a graven image," right? In the second commandment, the Lord focuses on what we might do wrong with our words. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. These are outward expressions of who we are, things that we do and things that we say. Sometimes these are identified as acta et dicta or dicta et facta, various combinations of those words. The Lord reveals us to ourselves in everything that he said and in everything that he did. His dicta and his facta. He is the perfect visible image of the invisible God, in whose image and likeness we are made. And so in his actions and in his words, he reveals us more fully to ourselves. Well, therefore, we reveal ourselves more fully to others through what we say and what we do. We reveal ourselves more fully to ourselves and to others and to God as well. So we have two great commandments at the beginning of the Decalogue: that which we do with our hands, that which we do with our tongue. St. Paul wrote, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." There is no place in the cosmos, no place in the entire created universe, visible or invisible, where his holy name should not be venerated, and where his holy name doesn't also bring with it the promises that we hear in Scripture, that it's mighty, that it's transformative, that it's revealing. So the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, the name of God is worthy of our fear and of our love. Now, I mentioned this word fear. Now, when we speak of Christian fear or filial fear, the fear of a child for parent, we don't mean here in our context in our relationship with God the Father or the Trinity at all. We don't mean kind of a cringing, slave-like, abject fear. It's not the fear that we're talking about. The fear that we're talking about is the beginning of wisdom. The fear that we're talking about is reverential awe. We should have awe at those things which are sacred and treat all things which are sacred with a certain measure of reverential awe. Because, for example, what we're going to do tonight here when we bless the water for Epiphany, we are going to take that which was handed over in a certain way through the sin of our first parents, in their fall, all of material creation became disordered because our first parents were at the pinnacle of all material creation. And in their fall, therefore, we lost a certain measure of control, and the enemy of our soul gained a measure of control over material creation because of our fall. And so because of that domination, because the claim the enemy lays, our Lord even calls Satan the enemy of our soul, the prince of this world, meaning that the prince has a certain domination over material creation. What we do in these great blessings through the authority of the church, which Christ himself gave to the church, we take that thing and we rip it from the hands of the enemy and we hand it over to the king. All the things which are sacred, the things having to do with Holy Mass, their sacred persons, sacred places, sacred things, sacred times, these things should always prompt in us a certain measure of reverential awe. For they are, in a sense, a small encounter with the mystery who is God, whose name is so powerful, whose name resounds throughout the entire cosmos, both visible and invisible. In Scripture, you know, we have forms of the word of this reverential fear that occur hundreds and hundreds of times. This is that healthy kind of fear, that good fear. The words of Scripture, every word of Scripture being God's word, being given to us as a gift, In the words of in Scripture, we have imbued within every syllable, within every phoneme, we have loving fear of God, and something that prompts us to that which prompts us to reverential fear, which is awe, will also eventually, if we are not afraid to embrace it, will lead us to love. For example, the reverential pronunciation of the name of the Lord himself. The Lord himself says will even turn those who are against him toward him. So the holy name of God is sacred. All the names that we have for the Lord. Some, the ancient Jews, they understand that the name of the Lord is so mighty and so mysterious and so filled with power, for which we must have so much awe, that they would not even pronounce the letters that would indicated in Scripture what they wouldn't even pronounce that name. And because ancient Hebrew was written without any vowels, after centuries and centuries and centuries, they even forgot how to say it, so that they didn't know. They had substituted in another word. Instead of saying some kind of variation for Yahweh, which is a deeply holy name, they would say Adonai, Lord. They'd say some other name. So filled with awe they were at the name of the Father that they wouldn't even pronounce it. Well, this is a cue for us. However, the Lord wants us to use his name, but to use it well, to say it with reverence, to say it with sweetness, to say it with a measure of dependence, to say his name always with gratitude, always to say the name of our Lord with hope. His name itself is the manifestation of the love of God. As I mentioned a few days ago for the octave, and talking about how the name was given to him, the roots of that name means God saves. There are even those who think that the etymology behind Yeshua is actually save us God, almost like a cry for help. We never waste our time, let's put it that way, spending time contemplating the name of our Lord and looking at it in Holy Scripture. There are indulgences given for reading Holy Scripture for a certain period of time a day. The Holy Church is the greatest expert in humanity that there's ever been. And the Church knows that sometimes children need to have a little prompting to do something, like, you know, if you do this, well, you know, you can have an ice cream cone or something like that, right? That happens every once in a while. No child here has ever bribed their child, and no parent has ever bribed their child to do anything, right? So sometimes Holy Church will offer us wonderful gifts, great opportunities like indulgences to get us to do something that's actually quite good for us. Spending time reading Holy Scripture, especially the New Testament and the things that have to do with our Lord, and then maybe pausing and just gazing at those letters on the page, thinking about the power within them, how the Lord himself talks about his own name and the things that he attaches to it. What a magnificent gift we have in his holy name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.